You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
New year, new me? Cute. But how about new year, new money? With Experian, you can actually take control of your finances. Check your FICO score, find ways to save, and get matched with credit card offers, giving you time to power through those New Year's goals you know you're going to crush. Start the year off right. Download the Experian app. Based on FICO score 8 model. Offers and approval not guaranteed. Eligibility requirements and terms apply. Subject to credit check, which may impact your credit scores. Offers not available in all states. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I don't know why I say ladies, because I think the demographic of this podcast is like 97% men, if not 99% men. I tell you what, if you are a lady who listens to this Hunting Gear podcast, do me a favor and reach out to me on the Nine Finger Chronicles on Instagram and let me know what you would like to hear on this podcast in regards to gear, women specific or just gear in general. I'd love to entertain the 2% of my listening population for at least a couple episodes. But other than that, man, we got a good podcast today. We're going to be talking about hunting packs. We break it down in this episode by whitetail, more of your tree stand saddle hunting type of environment. We talk about permanent sets. We talk about mobile hunting packs and things like that. And then the second half of the show is dedicated to Western hunting packs. And so this whole episode I do with my good buddy Bob Polanic. Now, Bob used to be on this podcast quite a bit, and we used to talk all things hunting gear and equipment. But on this episode, what we do is we talk about our likes and dislikes, what we like to, like pocket configuration, zipper configuration, straps, where you like your pockets, how big of a pack, how you use the packs, how we use the packs, so forth and so on. And so that's what today's episode is about, man. All about hunting packs. Pretty cut, cut and dry there. And for me, I'll tell you this right now. I know we mentioned it just a little bit, but I feel like hunting gear, especially packs, like I feel like you can get away with a junk pack or a really cheap, non-functioning. I mean, it's going to function at some level, but as a whitetail hunter, you could probably get away with a little bit more. If you are mobile, then that narrows it down a little bit. But Western packs, when you're out all day long, they need to be durable. And I think it's more important to have a good, solid pack that it just fits your body type well. And I think out west, that's a little bit more important. So, awesome episode today with Bob. Before we go ahead and jump into the episode, though, I have one commercial that I have to do, and that is for the Code Blue Sense. Now, Code Blue Sense is a brand new partner, and it's my job to educate you on what they have. They have Cover Sense, They have synthetic scents. They have scent elimination products. And the product, me personally, that I'm looking forward to using the most this upcoming season is the Rope-A-Dope. Let me pull that up here real quick. Scents. Here we go. The old Rope-A-Dope. The Rope-A-Dope is basically a mock scrape system that uses a licking branch. They call it licking branch gel. It's rack rub, and basically it's supposed to be like the preorbital gland that bucks rub on everything, like in the licking branch. And so the rope is supposed to represent the licking branch and where they rub their glands on. And the reason I'm looking forward to it is because I'm going to be doing a lot of mock scrapes. It's something that I've never done. I'm very interested in it. There's a lot of people out there who say that, like, if you set up a mock scrape in the right spot, every buck in the area will come and visit it. And so I'm going to give that theory a test this year with the Code Blue rack rub in the Rope-A-Dope system. So as I start to mess around with it, follow me on social and follow me on the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast as well, where I'll talk more about how I set it up and things like that. But the cool thing about Code Blue is they kind of, not including their synthetics, but their real scent. The cool thing about it is one deer per bottle, one tarsal gland from one deer soaked in its urine, and it's from one deer. And so it's really cool how they do it, and it makes a lot of sense. So it's not necessarily a blend. It's a real deer, one real deer. And I feel like deer use their nose to communicate. And so there you have a pure individual deer that's in an area. And I don't know, I just feel like that's the best type of scents to have. So if you want more information about Code Blue Scents and the Rope-A-Dope system that I mentioned today, go visit CodeBlueScents.com, and at checkout, I have a discount code for you, NFC20, and that will allow you, I believe, 20% off of, I got it right here. I believe it's 20%, yeah, 20% off site-wide. So any products, 20% off. So go take a look at that. Appreciate everything that you guys do. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Bob, for taking time out of your day to do this. It's that time of year where we're going to start climbing up in trees, so we got to make sure we wear our safety harnesses. So good luck this upcoming season, and enjoy this episode. 3, 2, 1. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a while since this guest has been on the podcast, Mr. Bob Polanic, dude. How you been?
I've been pretty good, man. It's summer in northern Michigan, and might be biased, but I think it's the best place to be in summertime.
Well, especially with the pictures you're sending me of the steelhead. Those things are gigantic. Yeah. I don't know what it is about this last pictures that you sent me, but there's one of those steelheads just looks gigantic.
Yeah. They are. I mean, summer run, salmon and steelhead are big, but yeah, it's just fun, man. Run around a little river and catching fish that size. You're wet wading, it's hot out, drinking a few beers.
What's a good steelhead? Like if you hooked up to one and you're like, yeah, this is going to be a good one. What's a good steelhead?
Oh, probably anything over 8 or 10 pounds. Okay. You start getting north of 10 pounds, and that's a pretty good steelhead.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yep. I'll tell you what, that looks, they look fun to catch. Do they fight at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, plus with steelhead, you're probably hooking them on like 8-pound test.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a river, so you kind of got to play them. But yeah, usually it's a solid 5-10 minute fight. And if the smaller the river, the more log jams and stuff like that you got to navigate and not.
That's a big fish. That's a big fish.
Yeah.
What else have you been doing this summer, man?
We built a house last year, and we moved in October. So this summer's been a lot of yard work. Okay. So getting a yard in, landscaping, garden, We're on a lake, so dock, and then we've been entertaining friends, family, all that good stuff. So, and then a ton of work as well. So.
Yeah. 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 That's, yeah, I want to build a house so bad. I want to build, like, I see in the back, you got like a big A-frame type, or grand room, I guess they would call it as a real estate agent, but, let me guess, a bank of windows that faces the water. Oh yeah. There it is.
I don't know. That's probably too bright, but yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go. Heck yeah, dude. Yep. That's money. That's money. What, yeah, dude. What lake are you on?
Yeah. It's called Arbutus Lake. It's up in, Traverse City.
Okay.
It's really all my wife. Basically we're nowhere near where we were going to talk about, but, no, I was in Iowa, back in 2020 in November, and she found this lot and she started texting me about it. And like, while I'm in a tree stand, I'm like, I'm not looking to buy a lot, build a house. Like, we're good. It's like, you know, COVID's happening. You know, I have no idea what's going on with the world and the economy and jobs and stuff. But, yeah, 3 years later, here we are. So clearly whatever I was saying to her didn't matter. So.
Well, that's funny. I mean, like, when my wife texts me and I'm in a tree stand, my response is usually just do whatever you want without me reading the text messages that she sent. And it, like, just real long text message. I'm just like, okay, do whatever. And next thing you know, it's something that I probably should have read the text message.
Yeah. I think when I was out there, I said, we'll talk about it when I get home. And then when I got home, she was like, so I've been talking to a builder. We went and looked at the lot and figured out where we put a house. And I was like, that's okay. It's like, that's a bit, it's not what I said, but okay. So
you're going,
but no, it all worked out, especially with the way like, rates and everything have gone up, and we got in way back in early 2021 when rates were still low. So, and we're still, you know, housing market was hot, so we were able to sell our old house for a good chunk of change. So no, it all worked out. But
perfect, perfect. Well, congratulations on the new house, dude.
Thank you.
All right. So I tapped you today to come on to the podcast and talk about hunting packs. And before we get it, start, you know, dropping the brands that we like or that we've used in the past, I want to start off with Whitetail first, because that's something that we've both grown up on. And then we're going to transition into Western packs. I do a lot of mule deer hunting. You do your yearly elk trip every year. And what, last year did you go on one or two elk hunts?
I just went on one. I didn't have a tag last year, but my wife did. So okay. I just called for it. But yeah, I've been going elk hunting for about 10 years now.
Okay. All right. So with all that said then, when we're talking about whitetails here, whether it is in Iowa or Michigan or whenever you're hunting whitetails in whatever state, what are you looking for in a whitetail pack?
I mean, that kind of branches off in two different categories. So one is, if I'm self-filming, I'm trying to look at how I can pack in a camera arm, you know, the base that hooks up to the tree. Then also how I can strap like my outer layers to it for my hike in. That's only if I'm going to film. So it's kind of like the function of it. If I'm not filming, which I've really gotten away from filming whitetail hunts the last few years. So I've been going with a more like minimalist style, more of like a waist belt, like a hip pack basically.
Okay.
And mainly just looking for it to, the main thing is, with both of them, it doesn't matter. I want them to be quiet. And then I want to be able to have, some of my key items easily accessible. And I always really focus in on how I can strap either my outer layer to the pack, or if I'm doing, you know, if I'm doing a run and gun hunt, I'm not always necessarily worried about strapping the tree or the sticks to my backpack, but definitely want to be able to strap the tree stand to my backpack.
Yeah.
So,
and so you're talking about when you're trying to get, when you're trying to get mobile.
Yep. Okay. Exactly.
All right.
So,
and so, Let's talk about that a little bit. I know in Michigan you have more of a permanent tree stand set up. Am I correct?
Yes and no. There's a ton of public land in northern Michigan, and I bounce around on that quite a bit. But that depends. I've used a couple different packs that are really good for hauling a tree stand, and I don't have those packs anymore, which I'm kind of disappointed. But the main one was like the Sika tool bucket.
Yeah.
And that the bag separated from the frame, mm-hmm. so you could put the tree stand right on your back basically, and then strap the bag. So it was the frame and the bag sandwiched the tree stand together, and it kept that weight really nice and close. And I typically use just like a, I don't know, 11 or 12 pound old Lone Wolf, the smaller one.
The Assault.
Yep. But I kind of got away from it because a lot of times I find myself just carrying my tree stand and my sticks in one hand and then my bow in the other. And, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't matter morning or night, whatever it is. I always want to walk in with my bow in my hand. Yeah. I see a lot of guys walking into their tree stands with their bow strapped to their backpack. And I'm like, what, that you're just, there's a big opportunity that you might miss if you pop up a target buck or something like that. So,
yep. Perfect example of that came from 2020, I believe, when I was walking to the tree stand and one of the target bucks was in this little draw on the field edge, rubbing a tree, and I noticed his head coming up and down. And so I had my bow strapped to my backpack, strapped to trees, like with a tree stand. My release was in my pack as well. Cause I was just walking through the middle of my plan was to walk through this middle of this cattle pasture to get to where I was going to set up. So I had to slide the, this time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Still to this day, don't know how I didn't get busted. Slid the backpack off, unbuckled the strap, had to take my bow out, move my tree stand so I could unzip the top part of the bag to get my release, hook it on, knock an arrow, walk. I don't know. So I just kind of kept walking, and my scent was blowing right at him. And then I had this gigantic, I think it was an oak or a cottonwood, I can't remember, big tree that I was able to walk up right behind into 20 yards and ended up, or he was between 20 and 29 yards. And I was like 25 yards. And so then I shot him and luckily I got him, but I'm, man, it was a scary moment. So that, my friend, also is why I have my bow out every time.
Yeah. Yeah. You just don't know. I mean, all it really takes is about 8 seconds to kill a deer. So yeah, you got to be ready.
Yep.
So,
yep, absolutely. What kind of pocket configuration do you like, or I guess the inside part of it? What do you like?
If I'm going with like an actual backpack, some internal pockets that keep my gear, you know, like whether it be a grunt tube, rangefinder, maybe some snacks, something like that. I want to keep it towards the top of the pack.
Yep.
I don't like when I have to reach in and dig all the way down to the bottom of my pack for whatever I'm looking for in the middle of a hunt. It's just, it's more noise. It's more movement if I can keep it all kind of right there. I've had some pretty good ones that have a built-in pocket in the lid. So it's not like a school backpack that like fully unzips, but they, you know, I think everyone kind of knows some of the more recent style hunting backpacks, but they have the lid that comes up, but usually that lid has a, a double, like a zipper on the outside and a zipper on the inside, so yep. you can get to whatever. A lot of times, you know, carry a, you know, a beanie in there or whatever it might be. So but that's just, I'm not real big on, or not real worried about the main pocket inside the bag, because if I'm using a backpack, I'm using it because I'm self-filming, and I usually have a cereal, like Tupperware, mm-hmm. that I put in the back to help hold the whole shape of the backpack. And also that's where I put my camera in order to protect my camera, so it doesn't get, you know, mic doesn't get busted off, right. you know,
when you're stuffing stuff in and taking stuff out.
Yep. So, and then, yeah, I mean, I really do like a backpack that has like a good waist belt on it, and that has pockets on each side of the waist belt that are right on your hip. A lot of times I keep, SD cards in there and spare batteries and SD card reader. That's and a headlamp. That's kind of what goes in those side pockets, and just easy access. If I'm grabbing a SD card off a trail camera, I can just quick swap it. And I always kind of keep, you know, 8 lithium batteries on me just in case, I come across a camera that's dead or whatever. So,
right. Yeah, man, that makes, that's a great point. I love the pockets on the belt as well, but I utilize those pockets on the belt. So my goal ultimately is to keep my backpack on. So I'll drop, if I have, let's say how I used to do things, or how I have been doing things, if I have a tree stand and on my back, then I will take my pack off, take the stand off, put my backpack back on, and I carry my sticks on a bow rope. So that bow rope, okay. or a bow holder that goes over my shoulder, and I put my climbing sticks in the bow holder. And then, so all I have to do when I get to the stand is take my pack off, put my pack back, or take the stand off, put my pack back on, buckle up, and then put the, take the container, or the sticks out of the bow rope, and then start putting those up without having to take my backpack off again. So then when I get to the top, right, and I step onto the tree stand, the first thing I do is buckle in. The second thing I do is reach into those pockets and pull out my bag holder. I screw into the tree, and then I screw in my bow holder into the tree, and then I pull up my bow and hang it, and then I take my pack off and hang it. And so I am, do you hang your pack with your back, the back of it to the tree, or front to the tree?
Back of it to the tree.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So, and a lot of it depends on what way the lid opens. On some of these, I believe it's what's the company I'm thinking of that we both use?
Mystery Ranch.
The Mystery Ranch opens up away from the back and leans forward. Yep. The Treehouse has in the past. And so and that's just real easy access. Anyway, with that said, I like my bag top to open up away from the back and opens up forward. Now, when it comes to pocket configuration, my favorite thing, or what I like to use, is 2 pockets on the outside. One I can stuff a water bottle in, and then the other is like, I don't know. Sometimes I might not even use it. Maybe it's where I stick my gloves, or maybe, because I don't like to wear gloves unless it's really cold out. So maybe I'll put gloves in there, or maybe I'll put, if I'm saddle hunting, then I'll put I'm strapped into the tree, but then I'll put my tether rope in there, just grab it, put it on. So, yep. So there's that. But then I personally like to stick all of my stuff in the big compartment of the, so usually, let's say if I'm going to a tree stand and it's really cold out, I'll have my bibs strapped to my tree stand. When I'm in that process of taking off my stand, that is usually when, and I'll set the tree stand up, and then I'll come back down. I'll put my bibs on, put my pack on, then climb back up. That's the, like, when it's cold, then that's what I do. But all my other layers, I stuff in there, like my puffy jacket or my outer layer. All that stuff gets stuffed in the bag in an order that I want to take it out. So I run an Ozonics too. So the first thing that I do is pull out the, and it's on the top, as I pull out my Ozonics, I screw it into the tree and I start to run it. Then I'll obviously be hooked. I'm hooked in the whole time. That's the first thing that I do. And then I will pull out my puffy jacket, put it on, hang it up. And I get to the tree stand, let's say for a morning hunt or for an afternoon hunt, fairly, like I'm there early before most of the movement starts. So I feel pretty confident and comfortable just slowly layering throughout the entire hunt, so that by the time the sun comes up, I'm ready to go. And I'm not gonna have any issues. Or same thing with an afternoon hunt. I've been surprised before, but I like a big, and then on the top pocket of the lid is where I keep my grunt tube, my release, any additional hand warmers. If I, like you, I also carry some batteries, some SD cards. So if I walk by a trail camera, I can check it. But other than that, man, I'm just like, let's see, I'm trying to think of what else I have to have in the purchase of a backpack. Oh, and that would be multiple horizontal straps that run across the back of the pack to hold my tree stand. If I want to put my bow back there on a already preset stand or on a preset saddle location, that way I can strap anything that I want to. If I'm using my e-bike, I'll strap my bow to the back of it. I'll strap my saddle platform to the back of it. But outside of that, man, my whitetail pack is very much minimalistic compared to my western approach.
Gotcha. I'll just quick touch on a couple things, because my process is similar, but it's just a little different. And real quick, Dad, are you running the newer Mystery Ranch treehouse?
Nope, I'm running the older one without the. Let me ask you this: Do you have that new one?
I do. I actually helped design it, and I like the original one better.
Yeah, dude.
It fits better. It rides higher. I never found it to be loud, but they made some improvements. I don't know what size bag the original one is. Let's just say it's a 20 liter bag.
Yeah.
The new one, they have two new ones, and it's like they did a bigger one and a smaller one. And I was like, no, I asked you guys to just add some features with the same size bag.
You're right.
So,
right.
No, they were gonna take that lid, and they were gonna have that lid open. Basically, if you had your backpack on, they were gonna have the lid basically open like at your back. And I was like, no, can't do that. Yeah. And then also they took away like the squared off bottom. This is all in the prototype.
Yeah.
They took away the squared off bottom, so when you'd set your bag down, it'd always fall over. And I was like, nope. I was like, you guys are obviously Western hunters.
Yep.
You're not
yep.
tree stand hunters.
Yep.
But I was like, you need that squared off bottom so that bag just stays upright on its own. The lid's got to open up away. And then they came out with the two different sizes. And I was like, so I run the bigger one because the bigger one has has a waist belt. The small one, I don't think does.
Yeah, it's just the shoulder straps.
Yeah. And then they just came out with a nice waist pack that I don't have yet. But I'll plan on running that because I like the – Sitka's got a good waist pack that I've been using when I'm just – quick run into a tree stand for a morning hunt or an evening hunt, and I don't need to bring a bunch of gear with me. But as far as my process goes, when I walk in, I get to the base of the tree and I try to go up once.
Yeah.
So I put the tree stand on my back, and then I put a rope to my bag and a rope to my bow, and then I've got my sticks secured onto. I wear a rock climbing harness.
Yep.
I have my sticks secured to my harness, so it's just boom, 3-4 sticks up, tree stand. I get on a tree stand. I'm using my lineman's belt. I use that as my, like my tether. So I just get that all hooked in, and then boom, pull my bow up, arrow knock. you know, screwing a bow arm, whatever, screwing a hook for your bag, and then yeah, but first things up is the bow, arrow knocked, release on. So anything happens, I'm ready to go, which actually saved me this year because I hunted a farm for about 90 seconds in Iowa and I was able to fill my tag because I pulled my bow up and knocked an arrow first instead of doing anything else. So and then I bring my bag up and then I throw on my outer layers and stuff like that. So
wait a second. Did you have your pack and other stuff on the ground when you shot your buck?
Yeah, dude, it was 1:30 in the afternoon and I had been letting my buddy hunt this one chunk of timber that he kind of normally hunts and I hunt a different farm, but he was kind of, I don't know, he wasn't really hunting it that hard. He had slept in that morning and I was like, it's November 15th in Iowa. I was like, yeah, okay. So I'm going to go hunt that. I don't care what you're doing. Got in there, hung a tree stand, got up it, pulled my bow up, bag still on the ground and it's all hill country. So I'm actually first time I'd ever used milkweed. Yeah. I'm throwing milkweed and it's all floating around and I'm like, oh wow, Mike, that's really taking my scent where I didn't think. And I look over to my, I'm looking to my right with the milkweed. I look to my left and at 60 yards, there's a shooter buck coming. And I was like, holy shit. And I look at my hand. I'm like, I don't have my release on. So I had to quick grab my release. I barely got that on one motion, pulled my bow off the bow hanger, came to full draw. He stopped at 10 yards right where I walked in and I just absolutely shoulder punched him quartering at me and he didn't go, I don't know, 100 yards. I mean, I just knew he was dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it was through the top shoulder, came out his opposite armpit and it was good stuff, but literally was in the tree for 90 seconds.
Okay.
So I got to go back to my buddy and I was like, told you it wasn't that hard. I just had to be there for 90 seconds and kill deer. So a little smack talk was always good.
Yeah. You brought up a great point there though. And
your little one grew 3 inches overnight. Adorable. Also expensive. Sell their pint-sized pieces on Depop and list them in minutes with no selling fees. Because somewhere a dad refuses to pay full price for the clothes his kids will outgrow tomorrow. And he's ready to buy your son's entire wardrobe right now. Consider your future growth spurt budget secured. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
I don't want my backpack to fall over either when I set it down, right? Mm-hmm. I want it to stand up so I can dig into it. Like, especially if I want to set it on, before I hang it up, if I'm digging through it and I set it on the seat of my tree stand, I want it to stay there.
Yep.
So that, you know, having, I'm a huge fan of having some support. And there are, you know, specific brands out there that have in, like, not necessarily in an internal frame, but the way that the corners of the pack are designed, it collapses in a little bit, but it doesn't fully collapse all the way.
Yeah. That original Treehouse is a really good bag.
Mm-hmm.
That's still my favorite.
Yep.
They, you know, they did make some improvements on the newer ones. I know a lot of people weren't a big fan of the camo pattern, but, you know, during November, that camo pattern, it's a lighter camo pattern. So if you're kind of in a, you know, you're in trees with no leaves, pretty much a lot of daylight's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it does kind of work well. I think that's kind of the same thing with that, with Sitka's like elevated pattern. I think that's way more, it's beneficial to have that pattern when you're hunting in November with no leaves and you're trying to break up your outline and not get skylined amongst all the branches and stuff like that. So
yeah,
but yeah, like then the Mystery Inch did come out with two new packs. I think one's another smaller treehouse and then one's a waste pack. So
right.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how those work out. So and then I know I use that Sitka tool bucket or something like that, and that bag always collapsed on
always
itself.
Yeah, I had one too and then sold it.
Yep, same, but I loved it for hauling tree stands.
Mm-hmm.
But then it did get a little old. I always have to like on, yeah, there's just a lot of buckles when you were using that
yeah
Sitka bag. So
yep Yes, so I agree. Talk about the fabric a little bit on that Mystery Ranch too, because some of those, like that Mystery Ranch pack, I feel like there would be a lot of cockabers, that new one. It's like that fleece lining, or it's a soft.
Yeah.
Now the guy, I think the guy, when I was at the ATA show this year, he talked to me a little bit about it. And I think it's designed to not, like, it will collect them, but you can pull them off easier than, let's say, like a normal fleece, because normal fleece is like the fibers are looped in and they're not straight fibers. So that's yep. what causes them to, like the Sitka pants that everybody has, that if you walk yep. through beggar's lice, that it's going to be there for the rest of its life.
Yep, pretty much. No, you're absolutely right. Because they're just strands that with like, you know, just dead end strands, mm-hmm. you can just, I have a burr paw, and I think you recommended that to me many years ago. And that thing has saved so much of my gear. I actually keep it in my backpack. But yeah, you can just wipe it right off. It's not, okay. it's not a problem. It is. I will say that bag is silent.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Anything else that is a necessity for you on a whitetail backpack?
No, I think we kind of nailed it all. I mean, you said like the horizontal straps. I also like vertical straps on the bottom of the bag.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yep.
If you want to carry like a big coat or something on the bottom. Yep, I got
big
it.
Coat. I've even put like mini sticks on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a bigger dude, so I don't have to, if I've got a 17-inch stick, it's not much wider than my ass, basically.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get hung up on much. Yeah. But yeah, it's really just got to have a good waist belt to help support that load if I'm hauling a tree stand or not.
Yeah.
So
do you like on the strap that goes around your waist, do you like the ability to pull both sides even, or do you like a one buckle where the adjustment is always on one side?
I like the both side.
Yeah.
Cause you can just like, it's just nice and easy to just cinch it right down.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I like that too. Yeah. The only issue with, in my opinion, with the problem that I see, if I was going to somehow be like to design a bag, there's so much extra length when you're trying to have a one size fits all type pack of the extra straps that I have to tie it up multiple times to keep the slack from, I don't know, knocking at my knees or getting caught on something.
I just tuck it right back in between the waist belt and my hips.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. All right. Anything else about whitetails before we move on?
Not on the pack front. I mean, okay. I can talk about whitetails all day long.
But... Yeah, right. Okay. Let's get into your, we'll talk about our Western packs now, because like for me, it's a bigger bag and I'm carrying more gear and I'm going in and out of it more throughout the day. Do you do something similar? Are you opening and closing it more throughout the day?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Okay. What do you look for in a Western pack?
Durability.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's not going to fail on me, because if I'm going into the mountains for 5-6 days, I can't have a zipper break, especially a main one. I cannot have a strap break. That bag is, I mean, your boots, your bag, and your bow are like your most important things, in my opinion.
Yeah.
On a Western mountain hunt. I mean, obviously your gear, rain gear, whatever like that, but that bag's got to be bulletproof. I'm not really terribly worried about the noise. I mean, Western hunting for elk is a loud, I mean, it can be pretty loud. It's not like any of those bags squeak or anything like that, but like with just brushing up against the fabric, stuff like that, I'm not terribly worried about how loud it is. I do like it more of like, just because of that durability and I don't want anything to malfunction on it. I do like a very simple bag.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really interested in a bunch of organization pockets. Basically, the more organization pockets you have on a Western bag or any backpack, the heavier it's going to be, right? Mm-hmm. It's more fabric for the pockets, stuff like that. So Not always terribly worried about the weight of a backpack, but yeah, they typically come in around between 6 and 7.5 pounds. It's pretty standard across the industry. I know that the kind of seems like the lighter the bag, when you get heavy loads in it, the more uncomfortable it's going to be.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, good waist belt, something that can, I can, you know, at the end of the way, if I can put 100 pounds in it, and I mean, it's going to suck, but it's not going to wreck me.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah, man. I don't know how, like, I'm not able to speak eloquently, I guess you would say, on how to adjust a pack and things like that, because it's all feel for me. So I will say this, that if you have a pack that does not ride, because I've had multiple Western packs. I think I've found a good one right now that I really like. But I'll tell you this, if it doesn't ride good on your hips, or it keeps slipping out and you have to keep tightening it, because I did have a three, and it wasn't in the mountains, so it wasn't crazy, but there was still a lot of up and down that we had to go through. It was like 3.5, 4 miles pack out with 100 pounds, but each of us had 100 pounds of combination of meat and our gear in our pack, and hiked it out. And the pack that I have now did a good job. It sucked. Trust me. I mean, 100 pounds on your pack in your back sucked. But outside of that,
I don't think it matters what bag you use.
Exactly. But I will say this, that I had a pack when I went elk hunting the first couple of years that really did suck, even with the amount of just the gear that I was carrying in. And it did not ride like the one. It wasn't adjustable like the one I have now. It was durable. It was loud, but it wasn't comfortable. So the one I have now is much more comfortable, much more adjustment on the shoulders and the hips. And there's the padding on the hips. For me, I like a lot of padding. And I like it to stay still. So the hip belt has to have, like, there's some cutouts that allow, it's almost like the cutouts you can rest right on your hip bones, your pelvis. And it just kind of snugs into place. And so I like to wear my pack, especially even if it's not full of gear, I still like to wear everything tight to me.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
So,
yep, I'm with you. I had a similar situation. The first couple of years I elk hunted, I forget the brand, but had a bunch of different organizational pockets and stuff like that, a bunch of different zippers. Mm-hmm. I had a zipper break on me during the middle of a hunt. It wasn't a critical one, but still just like, well, I can't put anything in that pocket anymore.
Yep.
It was a heavier pack. And yeah, the waist straps and the shoulder straps always just loosened up. It was like every 20 minutes I was like tightening everything back up. I switched to another Mystery Ranch bag. It's the Metcalf. I've been running that for the last few years. It's very comfortable as far as loading a backpack. I've heard, and from many Western hunters, kind of, you want your heaviest part of your pack, you want it to be in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So you want like your sleeping bag on the bottom, or your puffy jackets on the bottom, and then like your food or your main gear, your tent or whatever, in the middle, and then some lighter stuff on the top again. Yeah. But the nice thing about that Metcalf is, yeah, you can, that bag's like a, I don't know, 60 liter bag or something like that. So you can pack that thing to the brim, hike in, get into camp, get everything out of it, and then you can use it just for your day, for day hunting. And it, the way that the straps, the compression straps work, I mean, you can get that bag right down to like almost like a 10 liter bag, and it's very slim on your back, and you don't, you know, you're going underneath tree limbs and stuff like that. You're going in between trees. It becomes a very tight to your body, and you're not rubbing it on anything. So it's a pretty nice bag. I'm assuming there's several other companies that make a great Western hunting backpack.
Yeah. Same question, different backpack. On a Western hunt, what do you like for pocket configuration or zipper configuration, straps, all that stuff?
So mainly that bag, and it's kind of what I was talking about. It's got one big zipper on the side of it, and to me, that's nice because if I need to access something at the bottom, I can kind of just unzip it, but leave like it all like compressed down. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just one big opening on the top. And as far as, you know, there's no organization to it. You know, I think it's got a water bottle slot on one side. Then I think I've got, on the waist belt, I've got a pocket. And then I also have, you know, my bear spray on the other side. But, and that's all in that, that webbing or whatever, that's all hooked in. But, otherwise I just organize everything in my backpack with dry bags. Mainly because I hunt in grizzly country. So when I come in, I'm going to hang all my food in a tree in a dry bag. And then my bag's not waterproof. So anything critical, I just keep in one or two small dry bags.
Okay.
And, you know, I've got one that's kind of like my first aid kit. And that's pretty small. You know, it's got a lighter, duct tape. It's got some stuff, some equipment for my bow, a new D-loop, the specific Allen wrenches I need for like my sight or anything like that. And it's got, you know, three extra batteries and then, you know, just some basic first aid supplies. And then I think the other little small dry bag, I don't even know what I can't think of what I keep in that right now. Yeah. And my food's all into like Ziploc baggies. So
yeah, I got you.
Essentially dry bags.
So, I mean, how do you use it? Are you packing up camp every morning and moving and then resetting it up in the afternoon? Or do you set up your camp once and then go out and then come back?
Set up camp once, usually hike in, I don't know, 2 to 4 miles, set up camp, and then just use that as my base camp and just day hunt from there, basically.
Okay. So, all right. So, for me, I carry now. Hey, the other question is, do you carry a spotter and a tripod when you're elk hunting?
No, I hunt dark timber, and So not a real need for it. I've, not to get off topic, but starting to hear more and more successful elk hunters have moved away from the dark timber because, I mean, I've had so many bulls within bow range and I cannot get a shot off because it's too thick.
Yeah.
So I've been talking to a lot of experienced hunters and they talk more and more about hunting some of that broken timber, some of those open meadows and stuff like that, just because your shot opportunities are, you know, your chances are just higher.
Right.
For a good shot opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
But no, I don't have a spotter or a, I own one, but I don't bring it with me up on like a backpack, a bivy hunt.
Yeah. So for me, when I go mule deer hunting and that's how it starts every day, is spotter on top of a hill, glassing thousands of acres, trying to pick apart drainages and all that stuff. So my pack has to have a side strap and a pocket. So on one side, I'm putting my spotter and my that's already connected to a lightweight tripod. And so I don't ever have to put it together. I just pull the whole thing out. Yeah. And so that's strapped in. On the other side is a full Nalgene bottle of water, right? So that's where I carry my water. Now, I also, here's something we didn't discuss yet, but I also carry a water, God, a platypus or whatever they're called.
Yeah, water bladder.
A water bladder in with a hose that comes out so I can drink out of it as well. So the pack that I know, I think if you have the same one as me, that has that in there. Are you running are you running a bladder?
Yep, I just run a 3-liter bladder. I might bring like a small, like 6-ounce foldable cup. I usually bring like a Mountain Ops like dry packet with me, and like at, you know, for the evening hunt, I usually mix that up. And let me tell you what, a full packet and 6 ounces of water is that'll wake you up.
A lot of caffeine.
A lot of caffeine, and it's pretty sweet, and it's super concentrated. So I've had many times of just this off topic, but many times of taking those packets and it's just that powder and just pouring it in my mouth dry and then trying to, you know, wash it down with water, and you start coughing out dust basically. But usually get a pretty good laugh out of it. Anyway, so I don't typically bring the extra bottle. Instead, I bring like it's a small Sawyer water filter with a small bag.
Okay.
So because it's a 3-liter hydration bladder that I have with me. And gosh, the first day or two I ever elk hunted, man, I sucked that thing dry by like noon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just guzzling water. So you have to kind of figure out how to pace yourself. Or if you are going to drink 3 liters in a day and you're potentially going to run out, I just started bringing like the mini Sawyer and a small 12-ounce bag. So I cross a creek or whatever, I can just quick filter some water and refill.
Yeah, that's a fact, man. I drink, even on the mule deer hunts where I'm spending a lot of time, just being out in the wind and the sun will dehydrate you. And I drink a ton of water. So I'm bringing that Nalgene bottle that's on the side. I'm also running a bladder, and I also have another Nalgene bottle in the bottom of my pack, because I've ran out of water before on an elk hunt and on a mule deer hunt. And the hike back to camp sucks. The hike back at the end of the day, and you got cotton mouth and your body, you're basically pissing gravy. That sucks, man. So I would rather have more of that, more water than less water. So at the same time, I strap, because of the style of hunting that I do, I strap my bow to the back of my pack when I'm cruising. I'm not, unless I'm on a stalk, I'm usually just kind of glassing areas, binos, you know, binos right here on my chest, bow is strapped to the back, and then I'll take it off every time I need to get in. But on the top of it, on the top of the pack, I like to have a big compartment. The cool thing about the Metcalf is it has two compartments. And so one is a first aid kit for me, and the other one is all my food for the day, like munchies, like bars. I put an apple up there, something, you know, my snack little drawer, I guess you would say. And then that opens up, you get into the big main compartment, and then that's where all my layers are. So if it's a cold morning and I'm glassing, I'll pull out the puffy, throw it on, or even another outer jacket, depending on how cold and breezy it is. And then I'm in that compartment. The other cool thing about the Metcalf is that I believe there's a zipper that runs vertically along the back that gets you into the main compartment without having to take the top off as well. Yep. So you can get into your main compartment and pull out my puffy, pull out my layers. Let's say my socks are wet or I don't know, something. I always keep an extra pair of socks in my bag as well. I always keep dude wipes in case you got to go number two out there. They're biodegradable, so you can just leave them out wherever you go. And then it's just a matter of easy access throughout the day. I have in my pack, I also keep some paracord for just in case type moments. I always have a knife, my outdoor edge knife with me in there as well, in the top compartment with my first aid kit. My release usually stays on me the whole day, but this year I'm going to be moving to a thumb release. And not a wrist release anymore, So now I'll have that in a pocket, or I'll have to find a good place for that.
Yeah. No, I, some similarities, but so that the lid you're talking about with the double zippers on the Metcalf, when I'm day hunting from camp or whatever, I actually don't, I don't run that. I don't keep that on.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I leave that back at camp in the tent or whatever. I think a lot of times that's what I put spare. Like if I go on a 5-day hunt back in the mountains, I think I'll bring two extra pairs of boxers, two extra pairs of socks. And, you know, I always have a camera. I always bring a camera with me. So and then, so the other one, that other like tube on the lid, I'll basically put a lens or two in there. And then, yeah, that kind of just stays back at camp. And then, yeah, game bags, knife, all that skinning knife, all that type of stuff. Anything you need to break down, and then, yeah, layers. So yeah. Kind of pretty similar, but I just don't use the lid when I'm actually hunting.
Right, so. Right. Hey, that's not a bad idea. Just more stuff, more stuff. I'll probably have to start thinking about doing that this year as well. Outside of that, man, I mean, the durability is important because I'm taking it off and throwing it on the ground and laying on it. Like when I glass, like I'm using it as a backrest a lot for when I'm, you know, especially if I have the spotter up, I'm usually sitting up. But if I'm just using my binos, then I'm leaning against it, trying to get comfortable with a lot of support there. But outside of that, I thought that I was going to, you know, I have a little, my wind checker is on my bino harness, so I don't need any access to that. But outside of that, man, I feel like I'm, yeah, I feel pretty good about my Western packs and how, what I currently have. And that's how, you know, everything that we've talked about, that's kind of how I like it. I thought it was going to be more complex, but it's almost simpler than.
I think it's simpler.
Yeah.
I think it's, than my Whitetail setup. I would agree. I mean, and same with you. I mean, when you're doing, you mentioned, you know, you have your bow strapped to your backpack. Western hunting, I do that from time to time too. I mean, you're in wide open country, your spot and stock and whatever, like, and I'm typically with someone when I'm elk hunting. Mm-hmm. So if my bow is strapped to my back, I can quick have them,
yep,
unstrapped it for me. But, yeah, I do always pack a spare release.
Yep.
That's a big one. And then, yeah, I will say that with a headlamp, I always keep my headlamp in the pouch on the waist belt. As soon as it's light out, I take that headlamp out. It's got 3 AA batteries in it. I take one of the batteries out and I reverse it. So it never gets bumped on, because I bumped it on before in the middle of the day. And when I went to go use it at night, the batteries were dead. And I assume that was the reason, but I never had proof.
You got to get one of those, black diamonds. They have a lock on the front where you just hold it down and it locks automatically. So then it can't get turned on, and then you just have to hold it down again and then you can turn it on. Cause I've had that same thing happen, dude. And walking a mile back to your truck in the dark, using your cell phone as a flashlight, sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah. Super annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I'll say, just a tip about the water. If I have, basically when night falls and I'm starting to head back to camp, or if I'm day hunting, I'm heading back to the trailhead or whatever, from the moment I'm done, like kind of hunting and it's getting dark, I'm just sucking water. I will suck that bladder dry until, you know, when you're Western hunting like that, I mean, staying hydrated is probably one of the biggest things.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. That's part of the reason I don't drink a lot of caffeine when I'm out there, because like today I have my coffee and I'm just pissing like a racehorse because it's a diuretic, right? So you're peeing all the time. I don't like to have a lot of caffeine in the mornings because you're just dehydrating yourself right off the bat.
Yep.
And so there's that. Dude, I just want to say thanks for taking time out of your day to hop on and BS about this, I appreciate your time, and man, I'm excited to hear stories, and I like the pictures that you send me from your Iowa farm and from your Michigan farm and when you're out west. So good luck this upcoming season, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, and good luck to you as well. And keep doing what you're doing with the fall series. I've just been catching up on those, and it was kind of weird. It was kind of wild. I was going to text you the other day, and you ended up texting me, and I was going to text you a photo of the fall series you're doing with Aaron, and that's pretty good stuff.
It's over now. We've done eight episodes. Yeah, we've done
eight. I'm only on episode three.
Okay, well, you better catch up.
As you can see from my comment to you, my text to you, episode three, it's all about what a mature buck actually is.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm with you on that. People calling a three-year-old a mature buck has been wrong for a long time.
Long time.
Anyway.
Hey, man, appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.